shall move forward, continue, amen, in the vein of our discourse, the glorious body of Christ, amen. This morning we have passed out to you the first of three sections documenting our dissertation, the glorious body of Christ, the church. Let's turn to our base scripture in Galatians. Amen. Yes, over and over and over and over and over again, we go over it. Amen. Hallelujah. Even if you have read every page of these writings, you need to read again. Hallelujah. This is the living word, not just the written document. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Chapter 3, Elder Liberman is our designated reader this morning. Elder, start from verse 26 through 29, and then we shall move into a new era this morning. If you want to follow me from the outline, go to page 6. Go to page 7. Amen. Where we left off in the 29th verse, Galatians. And now, moving forward this morning, we shall be looking at the second, that is, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. Oh, we're blessed this morning. We're blessed. Don't assess your life based upon life circumstances. I think I said that again. Do not assess your life based upon the current life circumstances. Do not assess it on the basis of what is afforded in the natural physical realm of your life. Amen. One who is poor, who is in Christ, amen, is just as blessed as one who is rich and he's in Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's more blessed than the one that is rich that's not in Christ. Yeah. Yeah. Huh? One who is in ill health this morning is just as blessed as the one who's in perfect health. And they're both in Christ. Mm-hmm. And he's more blessed than the one that's in perfect health that's not in Christ. Amen. Amen. And whatever your state of affairs might be this morning, amen, whatever is plaguing you and ailing you and, amen, and irking you, whatever is going down this morning, amen. Oh my God, it's just a passing situation, amen, that you have incurred on your way to something glorious and great. Hallelujah. Oh my God, we're so blessed this morning. And sometimes we miss the blessing because we're locked into the situation. Amen. But the glorious eternal blessing far exceed and excel anything that this life brings before you. Oh my God. All right. Everybody got the third chapter of Galatians, verse 26. Amen. All right. Read or read.
Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Ain't that something? That's just a blessing all by itself. We're children of God. We're sons of God.
Glory.
We're heirs of God.
Yes.
We're joint heirs of that which belongs to Christ.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Next time you find yourself frustrated by some situations, just stop a minute. Amen. And say, who am I? Oh, my God. We are sons of God.
Yes.
We're heirs of God.
Yes.
We're joint heirs of that which belongs to Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That should be so predominant and so radiant. Amen. To the brilliance of it blinds out the fact that I may be broke, I may be behind with some bills, I may have this ailment, I may be having some domestic problems, amen. Something is irking me, something, amen, it's out of character, something is wrong with the job, amen. The brilliance of who we are, amen, should just over, amen, radiate over all of this. Hallelujah. When we see who we are.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I better move on. I can stay there all day. We better move on. Read.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Amen. We are already. Oh, my God. Any hurdle that you are facing this morning, think about this. The greatest problem, the greatest dilemma that you would ever face. Amen. It has already been taken care of. Oh, my God. Somebody ought to just give the Lord a hand praise for that. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. All right. I can stop there, too, but we're going to keep going. Read.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
Uh-huh.
There is neither bond nor free.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither male nor female.
He didn't read it wrong. Amen. Check the Greek word out. The conjunction there is care. Which is translated and even.
Yes.
Amen. But it is not nor. In the body of Christ itself carries the feminine gender, but you don't split up the male and the female. The head is male, the body, amen, is female.
Yes.
The church is female. Amen. So in Christ, it's not in the body itself, you don't have male and female. Amen. This is what he is saying. All right, read.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 29.
And all right.
If ye be Christ,
and if you be Christ,
then are ye Abraham's seed.
Then you're Abraham's seed.
And heirs according to the promise.
I think where we left off last time, if you go to the bottom of page 7, we had exegeted that scripture so that we are not hoodwinked from King James reading and from what the covenant theologians convey in their commentaries, that we're somehow connected to Abraham in the flesh from the earthly vein, and we are tied to the Abrahamic promise. From the Greek text, follow me, if you belong to Christ, then are you the seed of Abraham, heirs according to promise. Again, one must be careful not to misconstrue the wordage of this verse, for it assigns members of the body of Christ not the promise that God made to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant, because if you notice here, in the reading, it says, heirs according to promise.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Not the promise.
All right,
amen.
All right.
Heirs according to promise.
Mm-hmm.
And here, what we must clearly understand is that even though the kingdom and grace gospels entail different placement plans, there's only one hope for salvation. In other words, there's only one salvation plan. And it is through the sacrificial death of Jesus, and of course, again, I remind everyone that it occurred in eternity.
Yeah.
Did not occur in time.
Mm-hmm.
It occurred in eternity. It was manifested in time on Calvary around 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
But it is the blood of Jesus. That is the only way one can be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes.
It is only through, it is only in this view that one can comprehend the thought of the cogitation expressed by the Greek phrase "ephemis pistou." It is rendered, and if you belong to Christ, that phrase refers to all those who receive salvation, the elect, regardless of the dispensation that you may be in. God's elect are God's elect. Amen. Thus, it is in this sense only that Paul conveys the phrase "our" to Abraham, "sparma esti ka ephaelion chloronomy," rendered, "then you are the seed of Abraham according to promise." But here, the thought conveyance is that all who belong to Christ are heirs of salvation according to the promise of justification by faith. Amen. You have a subordinating conjunction there. So here, amen, the preposition, I should say, if you belong to Christ. Amen. Unfortunately, they don't emphasize that part. They emphasize what Paul is saying here. He's saying, you are the seed of Abraham, heirs according to promise. Not heirs of Abraham, heirs according to the promise. Heirs based on the fact that you belong to Christ. Amen. So take your eyes off of Abraham and put it where it belongs, on Christ. Amen. It is through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ that we are justified. Mm-hmm. It is His blood that was shed. Mm-hmm. Amen. That deals with and answers to the stain of sin. So the focus point of the context is that the principle of salvation entails justification by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, which can be traced back to Abraham. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, his limited knowledge did not afford him the understanding that the seed, amen, was Christ, but we have this information in our gospel today. Accordingly, those who are members of the body of Christ are not related to Abraham in the flesh, are in the sense of the Messiah and the promises of the earthly kingdom of Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem. There are those who utilize this passage of Scripture, as well as others, in teaching that the church is the spiritual descendant of Abraham, of Israel through Abraham. Here it must be amply stated that the promises made in the Abrahamic and even the New Covenant are no way germane to those that are in the Grace Covenant. This is why you must divide accordingly to the covenants. Mm-hmm. Amen. Whenever you are reading in the Bible, the first thing that should come to your mind is what covenant is this tied to? Are these through these writings?
Yeah.
Amen. The hopes and aspiration of the kingdom economy is prophesied in the Old Testament and taught in the Synoptic Gospels as well as John. They are distinct. They are different from those that are delineated in the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, the body of Christ. Amen. The message for the church in the dispensation of grace. And this is why we must focus and prioritize a gospel this morning.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
There's information that is not available in those other areas of the Bible. And when you're reading from those areas, you are reading, in the scope of a great disadvantage of the knowledge, that is to be gleaned from the writings of those epistles of Paul.
Yes, man.
Now, the body of Christ is a new entity. You don't get this information in the Old Testament. You won't get it anywhere from Genesis to Malachi. You won't get it from Matthew, amen, up through the essence of where the demarcation is in Acts, around the 7th and 8th chapters, and even then that's given a historical account. Cast your eyes upon the expression of the term the body of Christ, you are into a new volume of truth. You're into, the writings that depict the message that was given to Paul by revelation. In this epistle we are reading in Galatians, Paul, around around the 11th or 12th verse in the first chapter, in writing to those at Galatia, he states, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached and that I've been preaching is not something that came from man." And I did not receive it a band, and I wasn't taught it.
Right.
Amen. But this comes by revelation.
Yeah.
And so the body of Christ, is information that was revealed to the Apostle Paul by revelations. As he writes to Ephesians, he speaks of that in terms that he uses. We have the Greek word mysterion, mystery, that which was not known, and which was revealed to Paul, And so, even though as we look in our gospel, we see from eternity, God, arranged, and God, made provisions, and God, performed the work, and he performed the most glorious of his creations first. Yes, he created the body of Christ, Oh my God, before he ever made you, before the foundation of the world, he took the most glorious of all his creation, the body of Christ. Moses never heard of it. Amen. Abraham, oh my God, justified by faith, but he didn't know anything about it. Oh my God, the body of Christ, even while he was on the earth, all the time that the disciples spent with him, he never breathed a word. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh my God, hallelujah. But oh, thank God this morning, we can speak of that which men in other ages did not have the privilege of. We're blessed in this dispensation. This is the greatest dispensation of all dispensation. Amen. I wouldn't trade praises for the disciples who walked with them, who ate with them. Oh my God, hallelujah. For I would much better, I would much rather be a recipient of the body of Christ. Oh my God, the most glorious of all entities, the most magnificent of all of God's handwork. Oh, hallelujah, the body of Christ. So it is a new entity, a new creation that was not known until it was revealed to Paul in the mystery. It is the most glorious of all God's creation, as its composition is entirely spiritual as opposed to physical. Now this It's thoroughly exemplified, and I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Amen. Oh my God, hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank God for the message of the mystery. Thank Him for this volume of truth. The most glorious of His workings.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
Many look upon it and they read right past it. Because they would rather live back in Jeremiah. Hallelujah. And Ezekiel and Daniel. Oh, hallelujah. And those were glorious times for them. But this time is more glorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, Elder. Read both verse 16 and 17, that fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, read.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ,
if a man is in Christ,
he is a new creature.
Mm-hmm.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
All things are new. What is the apostle saying there? You know, sometimes I look at men who I feel have studied in the Word of God and should know better, to get all hung up on the fleshly characteristics and features of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And some say, well, his skin could not have been as fair as depicted by the artist Da Vinci. Amen. And others say, well, you know, he had, you look back into his genealogy and you see, amen, a little bit of everything there. Amen. Somebody said, well, his grandmother was a black woman. So, amen. They get all caught up into those areas. Amen. Here the pastor, amen, is trying to tell us something, but we're not listening.
That's true.
Amen. From the Greek text, follow me now. Therefore, amen, it draws a conclusion. From now on, we know no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, but now we know him no longer. Now for contextual purposes, we note that in the prior antecedent verses 14 and 15, Paul emphasizes the significance of the sacrificial death of Christ. How we all identified with him in death as he died on behalf of all the believers, or all the elect. The message of the gospel of the grace of God begins with the fact that our salvation is based on the debt of sin having been fully paid by his death. And we are identified with him through spiritual baptism, referencing Romans chapter 1 verse 16. And of course, that passage that we preached on for some time, not many years ago, but when we first came into this building, messages, the first series of messages, if you remember, were from the sixth chapter of Romans. Amen. We are baptized into his death. Speaking of spiritual baptism.
Yes.
Now it is from this plateau that the grace gospel focuses into the spiritual heavenly sphere in the essence of Christ. In the 16th verse, we have the Greek phrase apoton, meaning translated from now on. It may also be rendered from the now, or from this point, or from this time on. Here the Apostle Paul uses the Greek adverb noon, translated now to denote a transfer, a change from one condition or one situation to another. It is in light of mystery truth, and I implore upon you, always read from light of mystery truth. Amen. If you are looking for something, the more light you have, the better chance you have of locating it. Amen. Of understanding it. Amen. It would be like some men that were lost, had lost something in a field, and it's pitch blank.
Right.
Amen. That actually, in that situation, we're at an extreme disadvantage.
Right.
I think of the little illustration of joke, you know, the pastor coming up with another little joke here. Amen. Of the man who was in the clubhouse and he was bragging about how great a golfer he was. And there was a blind man sitting at the next table. And he said, "I don't think you're that great." He said, "Oh, yes, I am." Yes, he said, the blind man said, I challenge you to a game of golf. And he looked at him and he said, "Are you kidding? You are blind." Mm-hmm. He said, "Regardless of that, I challenge you to a game of golf." Mm-hmm. Amen. And his pride wouldn't let him turn that down. He said, "Well, I'll just beat the socks off of him." Amen. So he said, "All right, I'll take you on." Amen. He said, "What time shall we meet on the golf course?" He said, 2 a.m. in the morning. When it's pitch dark. So if you're in an area that is pitch dark, amen, everyone is at a disadvantage. So God, into Genesis, tried to prove anything about the Godhead. Amen. Going into, amen, the writings that where there is extreme and radiant light, amen, that gives the details so that you will understand the workings of the Godhead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Glory
to
God.
Amen.
Yeah. Stay in your gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I don't care how good you are, you can't play too good a game in the pitch darkness 2:30 a.m. in the morning. All right. Now, as we looked at what is conveyed, it is conceivable that Paul is referencing the transition to the dispensation of grace. It said, from now on. Amen. The thought conveys is that the period when Christ was known in his fleshly body, as recorded in the Synoptic Gospels, it passed. Thus, when he says the present or the now period entails a spiritual, non-physical relationship in the body of Christ. This forms a total association in him, but unfortunately, many of God's people seek to relate with him in the physical plane. Amen. We still like that God with us, but he is more, he is Christ in us. Amen. God with us can be viewed in the physical, a natural plane, a natural sphere, but Christ in us can only be viewed in the spiritual plane. Amen. While incarnate in the flesh on earth, Jesus proclaimed the gospel of the Messianic kingdom, which was offered and rejected, as documented in the first 7 chapters of Acts. Thus, his earthly in the flesh ministry was according to Old Testament prophecy.
Yes.
So everything that happens in that era, there's a tendency to relate to it in the physical plane. Yes. Now, pretty soon I'll probably watch the Passion movie. Amen. I continue to say to you, don't get caught up emotionally to the point, amen, that you fail to see the essence of the manifestation in its light. A greater occurrence, is to be realized in eternity.
Yes.
And the greatest, sacrificing, the most intense agony was his association with sin. God abhors sin. Amen. It is the very opposite of his righteous and holy nature. Yet, he took on our sins. Through that we are delivered. But this occurs in eternity. This is why you don't see the Apostle Paul focusing and writing and his writings in that area. Now don't get us wrong. Here we are not trying to negate, the sufferings upon Calvary, and probably the depiction in the movie probably doesn't, even properly portray the intensity of the suffering, that our Lord endured, just the very essence of him, being the object of the wrath of God, not through the whip, not through the cruelty and the punishment that was meted out to us, but all the cruelty of what sin and the penalty itself is. Amen. Our Lord took that on. Amen. But he did it in eternity.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And we understand this. And we look into our gospel. Our focus is on his present heavenly ministry, as it is based in the spiritual realm, as it is revealed in both its salvation and mystery aspects. Now, where is our focus? He is currently seated at the right hand of God in heaven as head over the church, his body. Hence the statement, even though we are known Christ according to the flesh, actually speaks of those who viewed and interfaced with him while he was on earth. This is a very little benefit to recipients of grace in the body of Christ in this age. Our focus is on the body. This is why, as he writes to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians, Paul makes the statement that what God has given, and you notice as he writes, his focus is internal, not external. Amen. So when you say the body of Christ, if you say in the church, the focus is away from, the physical aspect of the organization, and it is on the spiritual aspect. This is why the body of Christ is an organism.
Yes.
It's not an organization. Amen. And when we look at the body of Christ, we basically see the gift that God has given in the church, where he said, I've given some apostles, amen, and prophets, and evangelists, and pastors, and teachers, amen. Notice it's all internal. What did he give it for? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, amen, for the edifying of the body. Amen. You see, the concentration is on the body. God will have us to, amen, to focus on the body. Amen. And so, here as he writes to these brethren, he's trying to get them to focus away from the fleshly Jesus. Amen. He was perfect in all aspects. Amen. He was perfect, amen, man. For he was God and man, which made him perfect man. But Paul says, we don't know him that way no longer. Our focus is not on the lonely Nazarene walking the dust to show. Oh my God, hallelujah. But it is the Christ, Paul said, that I knew.
Glory
to
God. All right. Yes.
He said, focus away from the Christ that Peter saw, and John saw, and James saw, and Bartholomew saw. Amen. Oh my God. And all of the disciples saw. Amen. And the 70 saw. Amen. Oh, focus away from the one. Amen. Even the image of him up on the cross. Amen. But the one that I saw as one who was born in due time. Amen. A Christ who is risen, who sits at the right hand of God, his hand over the church.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So, here's the statement, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, actually speaks to those who viewed and interfaced with him while he is on earth. But again, this is very, very a benefit to us. In this age, to emphasize this, Paul uses a strong adversative conjunction, Allah, rendered but, as he states, now, can you say now?
Now.
Now, we know him so, in this matter,
glory,
no longer.
Right. Yes.
I'll repeat that. We don't know him as they knew him. Now we know him so, in this manner, no longer, even as he that is Christ relates to the body of Christ, it is by a new message, and it is in a spiritual sphere. Now, it is the spiritual domain that is referenced as we move to the 17th verse. Elder, read that 17th verse again. Amen. You're still with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5,
yes,
verse 17. All right, read.
2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Now from the Greek text. Follow me now. Therefore, if anyone in Christ, a new creation, the old pass away, behold the new has and is come. Here we have coordinating conjunction oste, rendered therefore, thus, as a consequence and result of what has been previously stated. Here Paul is true to his policy of never vouching for or against anyone's salvation status. He uses the subordinating conjunction e, rendered if. But he uses only in distinguishing those who are in Christ. So this can read those who are in Christ. Amen. New creation. The Greek phrase e Christo,
yes,
in Christ, as used in this verse, is in the locative case. Okay, I'm going to do a little grammar here. Amen. Here, the locative case denotes in the sphere of its reference to our position in the body, as he uses it numerous times in his epistles, to note the place of occupation, a position of believers in Christ. Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
And I want everyone to become very familiar with that term if you aren't all already. It's very, very, very important. Amen. We use the term in heaven. We'll deal with that. In glory. We use all of these terminologies. Then someone said, well, what is heaven? The first thing that someone does is they run to Revelation and they start talking about the New Jerusalem, that great city that comes down from heaven. There's a whole lot different between from heaven and in heaven. Amen. And they call that heaven. Amen. And then when Paul says, eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard in Corinthians, nor has it entered into the hearts of men those things God has prepared for those that love him. And then he says, but it is revealed to us. Someone said, well, how is it revealed to us? Amen. We've got to come to learn to appreciate the term in Christ.
Right.
What does it mean to be in Christ?
Lord.
Amen. We will be dealing with this, amen, as we go forth and we exegete similar verses that's tied to the position, what it means to be in Christ. Here, we're not going to do it this morning. For those that may be listening through the audio and the website, Romans chapter 3, verse 24, they're all here, you don't have to write them. Romans chapter 8, verses 1, 2, 10, and 39. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1, 3, 5, 12, 20. And there are other places also, amen, in our gospel. But you won't find that expression outside of our gospel. Now, Paul also used it once, follow this, regarding the Jews who prior to the establishment of the manifestation of the body of Christ, the designated church, here used the term in Christ before him. In Romans, as we reference Romans chapter 16, verse 7, amen, and 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, here he's talking about those that, amen, were saved in the dispensation leading up to grace. That is, in the kingdom dispensation, there were those that were saved, and they transitioned over into the grace church. Thus, to be in Christ implies that those are all those who are redeemed through the blood of Christ, that are called in the, are placed in the present dispensation, occupying a position in the body of Christ. You are in Christ. In Christo, in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 and chapter 2 verse 13 and chapter 3 verse 21 and all document it. We are going to take some time to convey to you so that we have the full appreciation of what it means to be in Christ, this glorious position that you occupy in the body of Christ. And I'll say this as a preview. It is not necessary, amen, to sit down and try to basically describe heaven. It is enough to say in Christ. Amen. Yes. Somebody said, well, what does that entail?
Yes.
Amen. If you understand the writings, Paul speaks of all things in Christ, in him, by him, for him, to him. In him all things consist, speaking of Christ. Amen. All things were made by him, yes, for him, to him. Amen. If you understand that to mean that Christ is the creator, all things are created by him. If you have the creator, it is more than anything that the creator can create.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, in Christ covers it all. Amen. We're in Christ. Amen. The body of Christ. We've got to, oh my God, we got to understand. In the coming weeks, we're going to get into the details, knowing what it is. Give me about 10 minutes here and we'll close out for the day. Now, in light of noting that those who are in Christ during this dispensation of grace are in the body of Christ, and are here, we have the expression, and it's really new creations, not new creatures, as it is conveyed in King James. Notice the phrase, have the Greek word katesis. When the creation, it is generally used, and this is what throws some of us off, it's generally used in the New Testament scriptures to depict God's work in creation. In this sense, Kyrie Patistis translated a new creation, it indicates that God sovereignly designed and he designated certain ones in Christ in eternity, according to the predestination of his glorious body to be manifested and exist in time. Oh my God. I think I'll repeat that, because I think that got by someone. New creation. New creation. New creation. Before the foundation of the world, before he created us in these human bodies, amen, a new creation was formed. In him, in Christ, the most glorious of all. We used to say that he did his greatest work last. Uh-uh. He did his greatest work first. He just hid it.
Glory.
He kept it a secret. He did it and reserved it. In Christ. A new creation. A new creation. Not a spin-off of this old creation. A new creation created before this creation. Woo, Lord. And I think y'all still missing it.
Already. Hallelujah.
A new creation. In Christ.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
When we talk about God being awesome, we're thinking about him delivering us from some situation, and that's fine too. We think about God healing our bodies, delivering us out of some financial strait. And I'm not trying to downplay that. Amen. But if you're going to use such a word, awesome, amen, hook it up with something that is really awesome.
Yes. Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory.
relegate it to what we see in time. But hook it up with what God has done in eternity. Absolute. Don't refer to it in relation to the things that are lost. They may be good in their place, but it doesn't adequately describe the awesomeness of God. Do not even look at the promised land. And the promises of Abraham. And the new earth. And the new Jerusalem. As spectacular as that city is coming down from heaven with the pearly gates and the streets of gold. Amen. Now, that doesn't describe the awesomeness of God. Someone said, well, what does describe the awesomeness of God? Amen. Around the 10th verse of the... We will be exegeting this, of course. The 3rd chapter of Ephesians. Paul writes to the intent for the purpose that when he showed his greatest work to the principalities and power, and God gets ready to show what awesome means, he points to the new creation. Not that which he has done in time, but that which he has accomplished in eternity. What did he accomplish in eternity? A new creation. Oh my God. He has taken the depraved ones like you and me. And transforms. Justifies. Sanctified us. Propitiated us. He has imputed his righteousness unto us. Regenerated us. Oh my God. I know you can, amen, see this now, but glorified us. And placed us in the matchless, perfect, glorious, beautiful body of Christ. Yes, in the essence of Christ. Now we can say God is awesome. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm going to have to bail out today. New creation. Kenny Christie's. God greatest work. Amen. That was done and was hid, and he kept it a secret to be manifested. And exist in time, and then when time is no more, it becomes the dominant force of his mighty work in eternity. This new creation, said this, and I'll quit for the day, is not, in essence, comprised of the outward physical divergence of reformed humanity, but the inward spiritual composition of the nature of Christ. I'm going to say this again and leave you with this today. One of the reasons why we are not as impressed as we should be with the new creation is that we're looking at one another. You're looking at me, and I'm looking at you. And of course, there's no way we can be impressed with what we see. Huh? Especially the way we act sometimes. Huh? Say, is this the body of Christ? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The essence of it is not comprised of the physical manifestation of the praying men who have been called. And many times we look at the physical operation of the physical organization of the organized body that we call the church. But I say to you, that's a very poor representation of in Christ. Oh, pastor, don't say that. There are some people, that's some good people. Yeah, yeah, good as far as, you know, what our assessment of good are. Amen. But that is a very poor representation of what it is in Christ. What it means to be glorified. What? Oh, my God. I say this, Paul, on one occasion, was taken outside of Lystra. He was stoned. And they thought they had killed him. But what God did, and Paul later come back, he said, I wasn't dead. God just took my spirit out of the body, but he didn't leave me dead. He took my spirit out of the body, and he took me up into the third heavens. And he said, I saw things that were unalterable. Now, I know the King James says unlawful. Nomos is nowhere. You see that word, nomos. Nomos, law. It's nowhere in there. Nomos. You see any derivation of that word in there. The word is unalterable. In other words, Paul says, what I saw was so glorious, human language is not adequate to depict it, to describe it. Amen. I saw it, and I can't even tell. Human words can't express what I saw. The glorious work and the gloriousness of what it means to be in Christ, in his body. It is the spiritual composition of the nature of Christ. Want to know what the body is? Look at the nature of Christ. Oh my God. Hallelujah. And this is why the description of one so abiding is son positioning. We are sons. Amen. Sometimes when I look at certain people and I look at the offsprings and they say, that's my son. I said, you didn't have to tell me. Amen. The fact there's no way you can deny it. Amen. If ever someone is your son, that's your son. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we in glory, we wake up. When I look at you, you look at me, we see the nature of Christ. Woo, God. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What he is in nature, we shall be. Hallelujah. We are in him. We are him. Woo, hallelujah. We are sons. He has positioned us. Amen. This is why he points to it as his greatest accomplishment. Oh, what a contrast from the depraved ones that fall short each and every day. One occasion, Paul said, "Well, I would do good. Evil was present all around me. Oh, one day in a glorified body, free from the penalty, free from sin, free from corruption, in the essence of Christ." Oh, man. blessing that we have in Him. Next week, we will go into the avenue of what it means to be in Christ. Everybody say, in Christ. In Him. Give the Lord a hand, praise.